right. The We Got Y'all crew is back again with even more content you love. Again, we are back to finish off our series of Ladies First, a story of women in hip hop. If you haven't already, we reviewed episodes 1 and 2 last week. So go and listen to that first and then listen to us finish off the series by reviewing episode 3 and 4. But of course, I am not here alone. Of course, I'm here with the loud mouth of the South, hey. Mr. Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Hey, back again. Back to back, Maybach stacks the ills. Total of us, Lil Shady back the ill. Want to go black, can go black again. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I felt like it was appropriate since our subject matter today, you know, I talking about like these ladies in rap.
Yes. Yeah. So good. Are you excited to wrap up the series here?
I am, but also I kind of feel like we could have given us more, you know, like we did it in 2 parts, but there's so much content here and I'm sure we could go on and wax poetic about, you know, our heyday listening to the hip hop music stuff. I didn't feel like there might be a series in here somewhere that we could have really fleshed this out, but I am excited to talk about it today. It was a good documentary, or at least I really liked it. But you are the documentary expert here, you know, coming from Crime Scene. What did you think about the 4-part series altogether?
I really like the 4-part series. I went back and forth by like the last one. I was like, did we really need this last episode? Could we have fit it somewhere else? I think if they wanted to, they could have made it a 3-parter. But honestly, the 4 parts felt great. They weren't too long. I feel like they covered a lot. We'll talk about a little bit later. I felt like they also left some stuff out as well. Okay. You know, I think they kind of like tiptoed around some stuff about the culture of hip hop and stuff like that. But I think they accomplished what they wanted to get accomplished. And for me, that's praising women in hip hop, exposing people to more women in hip hop. Like we said in the first one, I felt like I learned a lot in the first 2 episodes. In these last 2 episodes, I felt like I learned even more. So I think they hit the nail on the head here. And this was a great series to watch.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And thank all the listeners for coming to us on this journey. You know, we're getting the connect back up and running. And so we need more stuff to talk about, too. So we got rap shit coming in a few weeks, but we also got a little time. And so if you hear us, you hear us talking about this and you say, well, what about this other stuff? Let us know what you want us to talk about. I believe we're at connect on postshowrecaps.com. Is that what it is? Connect at postshowrecaps.com is the email.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, and then or you can tweet us and at Mari Talks Too Much and at Chappelle's underscore show, you know, and let us know what you want us to talk about, because this was a good time. But you know, we're here to bring more bliggity black content here to the connect. So I'm excited, but there's more to come.
Yeah, and let's be real. If you tweet us, we'll see it there first more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I checked the connect recap email address.
So yeah, feel free to reach out to us. Like we said, we'll probably just watch some other few things, give our thoughts on a few other things. Just make sure you're subscribed to us wherever you get your podcasts in order to know what we're up to. But Chappelle, let's get into episode 3 of Ladies First, the story of women in hip hop. Episode 3, I thought was very interesting. Like, I liked the progression of it. It felt different from the first 2 episodes. The track list for episode 3 is Where Are Our Flowers? Ho Go Under the Knife, Still Ain't Cut Like Me.
Hey, shout out to Meg.
Yeah. Securing the Bag. Love Yourself Because It Gets Ugly. So I love that they went back to talking about how women in hip hop, especially Black women, can be erased from the narrative. Because like I said in the last episode, there were some of these female MCs that I did not know about. And it's just, you know, it's just because not because I was in hip hop and knew of everybody else. It's just like I wasn't in it. So I didn't know. And so I like that we visited Sha Rock again and how she establishes again that she was the first female MC on cassette tape. Like, that's so big.
Yeah, they she's the poster child of people not getting their money that they deserve, right?
Yeah,
she is the first to be on the cassette tape, but also the first to kind of get screwed over by the industry. A lot of these women, they call them, they were entrepreneurs, you know. They basically just woke up one day, decided this is the route I'm gonna go. They paved their own. They struggled through a male-dominated society and, you know, all these other random barriers. And then they still ended up broke. And it's like, damn, what else do they got to do to get what they deserve? So this first part, it was kind of hard to watch because it's kind of sad, you know?
It was. Exactly. I have, like, the birth of the 360 deal down here, you know?
Getting
signed as an artist, but being told, okay, you're signed, but we got to get you studio time. We got to get you this, 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 and that. And then it's like, you're in debt. You're not really making money. I love this part from Drew Dixon as well. And the, I didn't know about her either. But basically she's a famous, A&R executive. I would say Drew Dixon is, and she talks about how, she wanted to be a part of the art form of hip hop because she felt like it encapsulated the people who survived the institution of slavery. And I thought that was very, very powerful. Like, this culture was birthed from that culture. And her, what did you think of her story about how the I'll Be There For You / You're All I Need To Get By song was made?
This was incredible. One, I did not know this story. Did not know this happened. So I was like, man, you know, imagine how many other stories that we just aren't getting told. I love that song.
Love
Method
it.
And Marriage together. It's the song is long and it still ain't long enough for me. It just, yeah. I could do another, like, give me another verse. But yeah, finding out that Nikki D was the receptionist.
And wow.
And she hears this interlude and she's like, oh no. This is great. This is an ode to, you know, women that coming in the vocabulary of hip hop. It's not something you see often. And so she goes and puts the pieces together. She wants Method Man with Mary J. Blige. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Drew Dixon does. Mm-hmm. And she puts the pieces together. And I just never knew this. She suggested Mary J. Blige, you know, they called Puff Daddy to make this happen. This should be some story that we all know, because this is one of the greatest collaborations of all time.
It is. It is. And that needs to be said. This is one of the greatest collaborations of all time. Like, this was before, like, a rapper and a singer collaborating was, like, that is like a dime a dozen now, but this was novel back then. And all of that to say that Drew wasn't credited. She basically picked the sample. She picked the artist. She basically had to ask her supervisor if she could do this all together. She brought all these things together. It wins a Grammy. And because she didn't type the credits, she had somebody else type the credits on it. She wasn't credited for it. And it's so... And I didn't see that was coming when, you know, when they're telling us the story. We find it out at the end. And it's just another example of how Black women behind the scenes are being erased. Maybe not purposefully, but it's still happening, you know?
Right. This woman won a Grammy and doesn't have any proof. And that's incredible. Like, she could tell this story a million times and people can choose to believe her or not, because her name is not on the Grammy. It's not in the, you know, if you go to Wikipedia, it's probably not on there. And that's so sad, because she did all the work. Every time she hears this song, she thinks, I did this shit. And people probably like, no, you didn't. You know, that's pretty messed up, Mario. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't like this story at all. It made me sad. I was proud to know it and, like, be happy for her, but not proud that this happened to her.
Yeah. And it's just like a long list of ways that women get screwed when it comes to this business, because they were so early in the business, you know? They then move on to, like, hip hop being appropriated. And I like that they had the definition of cultural appropriation here, Chappelle, and how it's not just mimicking the art or the art form, but it's like taking credit for the art form and or not giving proper credit to the art form or profiting off of the art form or whatever you're appropriating and not giving back to the community that, you know, that helped create it. It was amazing, because I think people get appropriation mixed up all the time.
We could talk about this for a minute, you know. I remember when I was younger and how it would feel to see rap in, like, random ass places, right? Like, you watching the Rugrats and then you see the Rugrats rap and you're like, wait, why is there a Rugrats rap? You know, and then you think like, oh, I got to learn it. Or you watching Pokemon and they got the Pokemon rap at the end. And you're like, this show is, when they start rapping on Pokemon, where did that happen? And then, you know, being a young Black boy, I was like, oh, well, it's a rap. I got to learn it, you know? Yeah, and so, so that stuff kind of felt like, oh, it's like you feel seen, but not when you realize that this is coming from places that are not representing Black people, you know, like, the only Black person arguably in Pokemon is Brock, you know, and I think arguably because to talk about who you want to talk about, who you want to talk to, it might be, it, you might claim Brock, whoever, but you know, it's just like, this is not a show for us by us, you know, and there's no reference to us, you know, and a lot of stuff is probably made at our expense. You know, we see a lot of racist tropes in the 90s and the early 2000s that are made for laughs. And then the same tropes will be ignored when it's time for you to rap and make some money off of it. So here they talk about the Pillsbury Doughboy rapping, the Flintstones rapping. And I just could imagine that if you're an actual rapper, that a lot of this is kind of offensive, Mari.
Yeah, and then Tony the Tiger, I think, too.
Yeah,
it's so funny, but like, I think me as a kid, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. You know what I'm saying?
It felt like normal.
Yeah, and I like that they bring that to the forefront because it's these commercial entities using our art form to try and sell more, specifically, mostly likely to us. You know, And it's just like any corporation that'll throw a gay pride flag up during June and snatch it down, you know, as soon as July 1st.
It's got to go, you know?
It's just like, it's frustrating to kind of see, you know. No, I was just going to say, I think Miley Cyrus and Izzy Azalea rightfully get called out here.
Yeah, Iggy and Miley catch some strays here. But before we got to that, I wanted to see if you remember. You remember when Nickelodeon was Black?
What do you mean by that?
See, Nickelodeon, and I know somebody probably listening to this thinking like, well, they're not exempt from the appropriation conversations, but I kind of feel like they are because I called out the Rugrats in their rap. But but I feel like Nick paid homage to a lot of Black like artists and stuff in ways that these, you know, Tony the Tiger, the Pillsbury Doughboy, Flintstones, they didn't care about Black folk. There was nothing involved in those that were Black. But Nickelodeon had Black performers on all that performing Black ass songs on a children's show.
Oh my god, so good.
You know, but the 90s used to do that. Some of these the Black shows used to really highlight artists. I remember, you know, all the artists that would pop up on Sister and stuff like that, and those were Black shows, so it made sense. But Nickelodeon was like, no, we're gonna make time for these Black spaces, you know.
They did.
I picked Kenan on the Rugrats. Kenan and Kel. I picked on the Rugrats, but you remember, wasn't it Blackstreet and Maya were on the Rugrats movie?
I want to go there. And then it made me think of Cousin Skeeter, too. Cousin Skeeter was a Black show on, I'm pretty sure it was Nickelodeon. And they had, what was it, Total singing the...
Or was it 702? That was 702.
Was it 702? Yeah, you're right, you're right. 702. D-Lo.
Yeah, but I think that's the difference between appropriation and appreciation, right?
Like, yeah.
These Black spaces and you pay homage to the artists and you put them on. You saw Coolio at the beginning of every episode of Kenan and Kel.
Yep.
You know, where they couldn't hit him and just made it like animation. So I appreciate that. And I think that that's when people don't understand how it's done, look no further than that. You know, those artists and their works and their music videos in the product. It wasn't just like, oh, we need to reach Black people, so now let's add it. It was more like it was in there by design.
Great point. That is a great, great point. TLC sung All That. You're right. There is a difference. There truly is a difference. They made space for Black artists, comedians, everything like that. I used to love Nickelodeon, SNCC, and all that stuff.
Yes. It was so Black. But it was Black.
It was very. But like we said, we got to talk about Miley Cyrus.
Get her again.
It's bad because I am ashamed to admit, like, I did enjoy the Bangers album. I'm not gonna lie.
It was good. Talk about it. Bangers slap, damn it. And that's the problem. That is therein lies the problem. Shoot. You look, you talking to the right one. I listen to bangers recently too.
I know.
Every now and then I double back to bangers to see what Miley talking about. She had some hits, y'all. I'm not.
She did. It's so bad, and I hate that that was the case because, like, stupid me, I was like, no, this is the real Miley Cyrus. Miley is.
She's finally coming into her own.
No, and then the 3 years later, she's back to country talking about how she was misled by people around her. Girl, get out of here, dog! Like,
blame Mike Will made it.
Yeah. Mike Will. They did make magic together.
Mike Will, if you listen to this, y'all did. You made that.
Yeah, it was so good.
You put that shit on. It was so good. But also, damn, this is what we talk about.
I know.
It's like Miley was a country singer, child star. There were no black people in Hannah Montana, the show. You know, she goes off to have this country career. It's the climb, all that stuff. Uh-huh. Then she breaks out and she can't be tamed and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, which Miley's the Miley? But then when Miley needed to go get the black vote, she was making that little thing move. She was twerking that little flat
dog. Do you understand? No offense to anybody out there, but white people did not know what twerking was until Miley Cyrus started twerking. Like, legit. Did not realize what twerking was. I hate that she made twerking. She legit kind of made twerking mainstream. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yes. Yes.
I hate to say that. It's so unfortunate. Because again, like they say in this documentary, when she did it, it was like, let's not act like people weren't mad at her for doing that, you know? But a lot of people were like, it encouraged like other kids to like say, I want to twerk now too, you know?
Parents was twerking, you know?
Yeah. Like it just became like a trend almost. And it's just amazing to see like this dance form that like we've been doing for decades just kind of explodes on the scene. They show like Taylor Swift having like twerkers in her videos. Like she really kind of made it mainstream. And again, she was treated differently from the Megs, Cardis of the world that, you know, they came later, of course, but like where twerking is a rite of our passage. It's how we express ourselves through our dance, through our art form. And we would be called ratchet for it or like disgusting or like, what is that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was such a weird time to be a part of, like white people twerking.
Yeah. And then they almost did it ironically. So it's like, look at Miley up there being goofy and twerking. I too am being goofy when I twerk. So twerking became like a funny thing. Tina Belcher right now twerking, throwing it back. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's like, but it's not a funny thing. It's just a dance that we've been doing forever, getting called ghetto and all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? That black folk been doing. So that's why I was like, it's not great. But again, if you want to catch black folk attention, do black stuff. And so Miley was getting pushback, but a lot, she got embraced a lot, you know. There were a lot of black artists on that album, involved in that album for Pharrell. I think Kaya was on the remix for We Can't Stop.
That's what we will do sometimes. Us as a culture, we will embrace people, you know what I'm saying? And you know, maybe we shouldn't have. You know,
I mean, there's money and clout in it, and you know, and we always have to police ourselves as black folk about what we can make money off of and what we can't make money off of, because it's, you know, anti the culture. And so it's like, yeah, on the one hand, we shouldn't have bought into the Miley hype, but on the other hand, damn, so we gonna get robbed of this good Mike Will made it instrumental. I can't dance to this now, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, Kaya got to miss out on her check. She can't be on the remix now because Miley appropriating. You know, it's tough. And you called out Iggy.
I did.
You did. Iggy Azalea is another one. This is an Australian woman posing.
Yeah.
Posing in complete disguise. They're like, this woman is not, that is not her. They do not have these circles in Australia.
That's what I was about to say. Like, I could probably believe that Miley got like a few black friends. Iggy ain't got one, except for T.I. because he's trying to make money off of her.
Man, Azalea Banks be wrong a lot, but sometimes she'd be right. Sometimes she'd be right, and I hate it. But
I was never an Iggy fan. I was never an Iggy fan. Like, You like Fancy. I know that. Fancy was good. It was good.
Who that? Who that? Is that baby? I knew this. I thought that you
That accent.
Look, something people don't know about Iggy is a lot of her songs are just like nursery rhymes remade, like black ass nursery rhymes. Like she got like a little Sally Walker type like song.
Oh, no.
Iggy's strength is in her visuals, though. They're going to put money into that video. And what they got every time? Again. Twerkers. Yeah. Uh-huh. They gonna put some fat asses in there. The same thing again. Two Live Crew was catching hell about it. Trina, all these women rappers were catching hell about it in the early 90s. Oh, let Iggy twerk. Nobody, you hear crickets.
Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. Nobody called Iggy Azalea ratchet because they know that's an Australian woman in disguise.
Yep. We also got a little segment where Misa, a fashion designer we talked about last week, her designs are being ripped off. Fashion wise, like this is no, I think the Kardashians caught a stray here because they deserve, They talk about Cash Doll was amazing, and she was talking about like she used to get teased for her big lips, her nose, or her cheekbones, and now they paying to get that, her, you know, they're tanning and stuff. It's the audacity for me, she says.
It is, and this stylist points out that, you know, if stylists got royalties, she would be a billionaire because there's so many people taking her looks, her combinations. You know, if you style for Lil Kim, you style for everybody because everybody then looked at Kim as the gold standard for what limits can be pushed, what we could do with fashion. And now, and she's just walking around watching people do it and she's not getting any of the credit. So, you know, again, it's a gift and a curse. You know, they use that Meg lyric, that hoes going to the knife and it still ain't cut like me. Because that's exactly what Cash Doll is saying. You know, like you going to get the lips and you going to darken your skin. I know white folks that get tanned every week. They go to the tanning salon twice a month type stuff. But you're not Meg. You know what
but
I'm saying?
You're not.
I'm sorry. It's just, it's tough because there's nothing wrong with that. Go live your life. You want to go get tanned, fine. That's your grown ass business. But when you don't accept that from people who naturally look like it, then it starts to be a problem. Meg is brown. She's a dark-skinned woman. You don't discourage dark-skinned women. Don't, you know, discriminate against them. Don't pass them up for jobs when they don't look exotic, quote-unquote, enough, you know? And so, yeah, that's why all this is really bad. I'm glad they pointed it out.
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably the shortest segment, I would say, probably of the whole series.
Yeah, they touched on it.
Yeah, but I think it was rightfully so. Securing the Bag, you know, is the next track list. And man, oh man, Chappelle. Yeah. We saw the TLC Grammy speech. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I know what I'm in for. For those who don't know, TLC are, they accepted their Grammys. I think they won at least, what, two that year?
It was a big year for them.
It was a huge year for them. And it was after, you know, it's on the red carpet of the Grammys. They're up there. They're about to be asked questions. Their faces are just, you know, I remember all of this. And they're just faces that are like, everybody's like, oh, you won Grammys. How are you guys doing? And they're just like, we're okay, but we're broke. They start talking about like how broke they are on the Grammys, like red carpet, like press room. Like it was I felt like it was a turning point for, I think, the average American, because I don't think a lot of us understood that people in music, especially hip hop, especially women, are being like fed off of by these record labels. And we all assume, like back in the day, we all assume that if you're a musician, if you're a rapper or whatever, you're living the high life, you're rich, you know. They said they're one of the highest selling female groups of all time, and they were broke. Like, this speech really opened my eyes as a kid. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know artists weren't getting paid for what they were doing.
TLC was at the time about to hit 10 million copies of Crazy Sexy Cool. Waterfalls was the number one hit. They were in the middle of a sold out world tour, just all this money being spent, and they had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And so It's so hard to believe. They had to air it out on the red carpet. Now, this Waterfalls was the biggest hit. You know, like, that's great. Like, it was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, and these people were broke. And so Left Eye does her speech on the red carpet. They obviously just say, hey, we broke, y'all. But there's also, a documentary where Left Eye is doing her, where they kind of highlight Left Eye's speech. And she said, this is how a group can sell 10 million records and be broke. And everybody get ready to do your math. There's 100 points on an album. Yeah, I think this is a
radio interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's 100 points on an album. TLC has 7. Every point is equal to 8 cents. All right. 7 times 8 is 56 cents. That means every time an album gets sold, TLC makes 56 cents. So sell 10 million records, that's $5.6 million. But that's the addition. The subtraction is, from that $5.6 million, the girls were contractually obligated to pay back both their record and production companies for expenses incurred on their behalf, including recording, travel, promotion, and music videos. So LaFace Records has spent about $3 million on the second album. So that automatically gets deducted from the $5.6 million before they can even see a penny of it. Now, you have $2.6 million left to split between the three of them. Well, guess what? When you have that much money, you're in about the 47th or 48th percent tax bracket. So that immediately gets deducted to $1.3 million. Then you subtract the percentages paid to the managers, the lawyers, and the accountants. And after generating millions of dollars in profits, TLC's attorney says that Lisa, Left Eye, T-Boz, and Chili each took home about $50,000 a year in 1993 and 1994. They were making a teacher salary.
That is... I love every time I hear that I cannot believe that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still unbelievable to this day that you are well known. Where did the first half of the money go to if it didn't already go to the record label? Like, it just doesn't make sense. These deals are just ridiculous. And we did kind of get a 360 deal breakdown in Ladies First. They say anything that you produce, the label gets a split. Record deals were bad. Sometimes people would get only 13 to 16 points per album, which is pennies, which probably, and you know what I think about it, since they got 56 points per album, it was probably, you know, because there was three of them. So if there's only one of you, you're getting like the 13 to the 16. They said 13 to the 16 was in the high tier range for your album. Yeah. And it's just, I just can't believe that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can believe it, but it's just ridiculous. All of this blood, sweat, and tears that these artists go through, and they're making, people out here making more than them. Like,
well, that's the
middle
thing.
Class.
$50,000 got them to like, okay, that's their salary, but making matters worse, they were in debt as well. You know, each of them owed over $500,000 to Pepitone and more than $100,000 each to LaFace Records because of the 360 deal. Because they front that type of money up in the deals. So when they don't make the money back, they're automatically in debt, which is what they talk about here when they talk about the 360 deal. So that's how they ended up in bankruptcy, and they had no choice but to file for Chapter 11.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because today, a lot of rappers use like 360 deals as disses to other rappers. And it's just kind of like, you're dissing them. It's the industry. It's not the rapper's fault, you know? Because Cash Doll talks about how she couldn't put music out. She was making music and her label would post it. Her label would pull the music back. Like, I've never understood that either. Like, why are the record labels getting in the way of artists making music? You hear about Rihanna and her record deal and why she had to put out 4 albums in 4 years and people steady asking her about the next album.
Right. Where's the album, sis? You know,
go back to one of the 4 that she put out.
Right. She's like, I'm done. I'm like, but stop being done. Go make another album. I'm sorry. Like, how much I could give you 5.6 cents. You know, like, that's all I got. Can I get one album, please?
One album. Yeah. Or like Prince having to put out multiple albums, changing his name to get out his record deal. Like, these are like big names that are dealing with this kind of bull crap. Can you imagine the smaller independent label, not independent artists who are just making it? I think, did we have, I can't remember, one of the female MCs on this I want to say it was either this episode or one of the last episodes where she was talking about how they were asking her, they said, was it MC Light where she was like, I want this, this, and that on my record deal, and they said, no, then you don't have a record deal, and she's like, okay, never mind. took the record deal.
It was MC Light. She was like, I want 50% of my publishing. Yeah. And they said no. And she's like, oh damn, okay. what could she do? She's like, oh, my bad. You know, it's like I am not gonna lose. And then I lost, you know.
Exactly that. Like, it's just like, you can't put blame on the artist. Like, we need to find a way to like make this industry more fair. We also got the story about Ra Digga being working with the Fugees, but also being pregnant, and how she needed the record deal because she knew she was going to get the upfront money, like you said, the front money, and she needed it for like having a baby, and how Q-Tip helped her get the record deal. Is like, it shouldn't be like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And now if you listen, the women rappers are rapping about these very struggles. You know, Cardi mm-hmm. B, like, I got a baby. I need some money. Shit, I need cheese for my eggs.
My eggs, yeah.
Which is a bar. Which is a bar. Yes. But dang, you know, they're telling them that they can't, you know, if you get pregnant, this is it. But was that Chica who they tried to write her the life insurance policy for her manager?
Yes.
Into the, so like, if she dies, her management gets rich?
Yeah,
that's wild. That's crazy. That's scary. Yeah, yeah, that's, bro,
I would be,
you could be
terrified.
Woo. Yeah, that like, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, and I normally don't give a lot of them, you know, space to breathe. Mm-hmm. But if someone said that rapper ended up murdered, and the management got the benefits from the life, yeah, they did that shit. You know,
they did.
I don't
that.
Know who they
yeah.
did. They did that shit. Yeah,
yeah. And I did like the fact that they did highlight like pregnant women. Now it doesn't slow them up in rapping. It was so funny when they showed Cardi B pregnant on stage. I was like,
hey.
that seemed okay to me. Like, at the time, I was like, yeah, she's like all of us, working till our freaking due date. Like, as somebody who was pregnant, yes, that tracks for me. We're because of capitalism, we have to keep working until we fall over, until the baby pops out. So, you know, it's not different like back then when like Roxanne Shanté or Ra Digga or some of them other ones would have kids. And you know, was it Roxanne Shanté who said she used to bring her baby on the road, man? Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, we saw Rihanna do the Super Bowl with child.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, everybody's like, sure. Like, it is, I love how it doesn't matter anymore. Beyonce performed pregnant, you know.
Yeah.
At the VMAs and at what, the Grammys that one year too.
Yeah. Like, it's like,
it's amazing. Don't,
yeah, don't think these women are doing that on purpose. They are not actively going to get pregnant and be like, oh yeah, this is gonna go hard on the tour. Like, I'm sure they would love to be able to take a break, but they just don't have the luxury to do so.
Right, right, right. And then finally, the last one is love yourself because it gets ugly. And this was probably the hardest of the sections, talking about assaults within the hip hop industry and community. And this is where I was kind of like, I felt like they had to skate over some things because, you know. But I'm also like, I thought the whole point of this is to kind of like shed the light on it and bring it to light so it doesn't happen. But it's like, it felt very, did it feel tiptoey to you?
Yes, but I know why. You know, like, right. it's like, remember, this is the same reason why this stuff isn't talked about anyway. One, the patriarchy doesn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you start to burn bridges by speaking out against some of this stuff, then, you know, mm-hmm. the boys club that hip hop can be sometimes might not be appreciative of that. Also, I think that I appreciate them giving time to highlight the positive about the women's and what they've come from, right? Like, at some point, if you start to talk so much about the oppressors, it becomes about the oppressors. And that's true. Really would like for it to be more about the people who are rising up against that stuff, because I could write a book about all the stuff that I've heard about Dr. Dre and I ain't a rapper.
Oh yeah.
So I know these people could tell some stories.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of, it was really sad to hear a lot of stories of like a lot of the women saying like they would be cornered and say they have to sleep with a certain person or executive to get their song out or to get features on the song. Like that is just not okay. We did get a more contemporary example with Latto. Latto has been very open about how she had asked for a feature on one of her albums by a male rapper. They basically insinuated that she had to sleep with them in order to get the feature cleared, and she's like, nah. And she, you know, she's talked about the experience, but she hasn't really said who the name is. And I'm not going to touch that one because I thought now, I thought who it was.
Because I told y'all who it wasn't and who it wasn't. No, I'm not.
I thought it was Kodak Black. Y'all hate Kodak
so much. Y'all hate Kodak
I do not like him. I do not like him.
Let him cook. It wasn't him because he was on the album.
Yeah.
The person who this was not on the album. I will say that.
Yeah. Do you know who they're saying they think it was?
I don't know, but people be trying to put it on Kodak. I'm like, Kodak didn't do it. Okay. Damn it. This time he innocent. He's trying to turn his life around, y'all. The boy's
they're trying. People are speculating y'all. It's the one who inspired this generation. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what I hear too.
Yeah. So I mean, much props to Latto for like being able to talk about this. You know, we're not gonna talk about this because we don't want to get sued, but good for mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll probably talk about this in the next episode, but Latto was really good here in this docuseries for me. Like I've been watching Latto's career since like the Rap Game and stuff like that. I was one of those people who were like, the name kind of, I don't like the name really. And ever since she changed her name to like Big Latto or Latto, I'm like, yeah, I fucks with you hard now. Like, I really like her. Yeah.
Latto can rap. Latto can. Raps.
She's good. Latto, yeah.
Yeah. Latto raps. And yeah, I too was like I called out Asian Doll last episode.
Yeah.
Why are you named that? And I get why she went by what her old name was.
Yeah.
But now we've been older and educated, we've shed ourselves of that. And mm-hmm. Big Latto, it's such a better brand.
It's
too,
so cool.
You know,
yeah.
With the slot machine type, you know, yep. Sevens, Lucky Sevens mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, come on, Latto. Rap. Yeah, that's a rapper. I like Latto.
She's so good. Yeah. And then we get the story of Dee Barnes. And I mean, I really appreciated this story because they even said it here, like, oh, most people might just know Dee Barnes as a throwaway line from the Guilty Conscience song, which.
Oh, it's so unfortunate because that is like one of my favorite songs.
And ooh, just cut the chicken's head off, you know?
I know. It, like, oh, God, it's so bad. But I like how they went into her.
Sorry.
We can get demonetized. Yeah, but so it's like. Actually hearing her story and seeing her tell it. And I mean, and they didn't like. Go deep into it, but I really appreciated seeing her. So like Dee Barnes hosted Pump It Up, which was a hip-hop show on Fox cable. Like I didn't know any of this. Like I did not know any of this. I just knew like, oh, Dee Barnes was a reporter or something and she got beat up. I didn't know she was the first woman to be the host of a hip-hop show on a major network, you know. Mm-hmm. For pump It Up. And Dream Hampton, shout out to Dream Hampton. If that name does not sound familiar to you, or if it does sound familiar to you, Dream Hampton she started off as a writer at the Source magazine. I actually went back and read some of her Source articles. She was all about exposing hip hop in the industry back then, but you might more know her as being behind the creator and I believe the director of Surviving R. Kelly, at least like executive producer or something like that. But she's the reason why we know everything that we know about R. Kelly, and the Dee Barnes. Dre incident, she wrote up the incident for Source. And as Dee Barnes is talking about her experience. She's tearing up. She won't say it on the documentary. Like I probably still to this day, I read up, really know the reason why Dr. Dre beat the crap out of her, but we don't need to know an answer. You know, it was really messed up what he did. He beat the ever loving crap out of her. And then we got sections in the docuseries here of Eazy-E, Yella, and I don't even know the third person. I can't even remember the
seventh. Oh, MC Red.
Yes, MC Red talking about, oh, that bitch deserved it. You know, Dre beat her up. She know what she did. Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah. I said Red, Ren. Yeah. Whatever. So, yeah, like after this, we really shouldn't be talking about them too much. This is bad. Dr. Dre has publicly apologized for this behavior, but it doesn't change that the behavior happened, and it happened to multiple women. I watched the Michelle A documentary on Lifetime. Mm-hmm. And Mari, you haven't seen it, right?
I have not.
This woman narrates her own documentary, and she talks about...
Ooh, okay. Yeah,
so she narrates it, and Michelle A has a very powerful singing voice. She has a really high-pitched speaking voice. It's like, and then me and Dre were just da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's very soft. But then, like, he beat the hell out of her multiple times. And so he did issue an apology years ago and was just like, I was out of my mind and stuff like that. But dear God, I mean, not only was he beating the hell out of these women, but then they weren't empowered to say anything about it. And then Dee Barnes got blacklisted. Michelle, I'd argue, is probably blacklisted too, because the way she sings, she should be everywhere. And I just don't believe that didn't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and he beat up another woman. What was her name? I forgot. Like, there's it again. I did read all of the source articles and stuff about this. This is well documented, his history of abuse towards women. Yes, after this, from what I understood, one of the reasons is Dee Barnes interviewed the NWA because they were it was like for an anniversary or something, like they were, or their music was about to drop, something. She had interviewed the NWA. Separately, she was interviewing, I think it was it Yo-Yo? She was interviewing somebody else. And as she was interviewing, which was a woman, as she was interviewing them, Ice Cube came over, and Ice Cube started basically taking shots at NWA really quickly during him coming over during the interview and then walking off. Her producers then decided to air the NWA segment and insert Ice Cube taking shots at them in their segment. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even her fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't even her fault as to how the segment got produced, but they basically blamed it on her, and Dre saw her at a club and just beat the brakes off of her. And like Chappelle said, like, her career was never the same after that. And they said here in this docuseries, which was chilling and very true, unfortunately, she's frozen in our minds as a victim and a footnote to Dre's success.
Yep. That's the one. You say Dee Barnes to me, and our first thing I think is guilty conscience. At least it used to be, because I remember that line. And the wild thing about that is that was a line of Eminem was taking a shot at Dr. Dre, but Dr. Dre produced that. So he knew that his name was synonymous with beating her ass, and he put that in songs to make money off of it. You know, that is how weird this is. You get assaulted and get your ass beat because Ice Cube don't know how to act, basically. Yeah. And then you watch the man who beat your ass go make money off of it and become one of the biggest names in hip hop, if not the biggest hip hop entrepreneur that ever existed.
Right.
And no one talks about you at all. And all you were doing was hosting a television show.
And you were the first woman to host a major hip hop television show.
Yeah. And again, Dr. Dre has apologized, but is is an apology enough? You know, to what extent, you know, is the apology, I could read it, but again, this isn't about Dr. Dre. It's more like, more about, you know, what service goes to Dee Barnes after experiencing this? You know, her Wikipedia is mostly about her incident with Dr. Dre. And that's incredible because this woman should have a whole section about her time with Pump It Up. And she just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So at least she did get a chance here to talk about her experience here in this docuseries. And of course, we get the Megan Thee Stallion case. They, you know, Megan is not in, like, we don't have her sitting here talking to us, but a lot of the talking heads are referencing her case. And I would just really like to reiterate, if I haven't said already, fuck Tory Lanez. And I said that shit and he can rot. Like,
I'm fine. Keep him. Keep him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep him. We ain't got to get into the ins and outs. It's fresh. I know y'all know what we talk about, but the man guilty, he did that shit. And he deserves to be in jail. And then he deserves to be deported back to Canada.
Yes. Get him out of here. Please. Yes.
Get out. Yes. Get out.
And so they did in that segment in this episode talking about how the younger girls are talking more about mental health more openly. Of course, Meg famously says bad bitches have bad days too, you know. And I agree. I love that a lot of artists are really prioritizing putting in mental health in their music because it's not as stigmatized as it was years and years ago. Like, a lot of people are openly talking about mental health, and I know me and Chappelle are very much for, like, people maintaining their mental health, checking in with therapists, checking in, you know, doing what you have to do to stay healthy.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick break and we'll talk about episode 4. Episode 4 was titled "What Are They Up Against?" So very like I did like this. I did like this last episode. The track list that we have here is it's the Sisterhood for Me. It's giving Boss Bitch, We Out Here, and giving Flowers. So I like that they choose to end on a happy note in the whole series. So I really appreciate it, but we have to talk about the first thing is Sisterhood for Me. It's the younger girls talking about, we embracing each other now. They done with beef. This is where Lotto is very vocal about, like, not wanting to beef with the other girls. I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite female rap collaboration?
Of all time,
just period. Like, just what? Just let's just throw some out there. Some of your favorites.
Oh, well, they talk about Ladies' Night in here, which I remember.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, everybody, including Missy. You know, like, she came in at the, you know, oh, what a night. Being like mine. I said, hey. But even more recent stuff, you know, I like that ratchet shit. I do. So, you got WAP. For sure.
Yes.
Anytime you put Meg on a collab, I'm there every time. So Bitch from the South with Lotto and Saweetie. And
yes.
Like, give me that. I need that. Hey,
we got clips of that. We got Saweetie and Doja Cat doing Best Friend. I love that.
I'm Best Friend. It's best. Doja Cat, if you listen to this, grow up. But also keep making music because she don't miss. Yeah, there's so many of them. I mean,
yeah.
Even like the Say So remix, I think it's Doja and Nicki Minaj.
Doja.
Yeah, like that. Look, we could go on and on. Let's talk, like, about it, Mari. What are your favorites?
The collabs right now, like Cardi B is on another level when it comes to collaborating with young female rappers. Like, I think she is doing an amazing job because, to be honest, I wouldn't have listened to a lot of these women if I hadn't been introduced to them, like, via Cardi. So Cardi jumping on Lotto's Put It On The Floor again, I mean, that is on my workout list. I listen to, like, I literally listen to them every day. Her and Glorilla's Tomorrow Too, really good. That's a good one.
She said, I went to school for chiropractic. I said, yes ma'am, you did. Yes, you did. you might think I went to chiropractic. And I said, that's not okay. But I get what you said because you popping your shit. Look, bruh.
And then finally, like one of my favorites, Cardi and Fendi the Rapper on Point Me Too. We'll talk about it, but Cardi being on a queer woman's record and just bawling out, like, I love that song. Have you heard that song?
I don't think so.
It's this nigga ill think he need a on a pill. Okay, I'm not even gonna do it, but it's so good. It's like I'm not gonna do it right now because I'm not it, but it's really good. So I love that they're trying to push forward this idea of collaboration, because honestly it feels like a lot of the mainstream media, a lot of, you know, people are trying to separate Black women rappers and trying to have them constantly beef in. So even if we might not be all the way there yet, I like that we are, you know, at least putting it out into atmosphere that no more beefing, you know. Also Lotto did a really good job on Chloe's For the Night as well. But anyways, it does feel like a new era. And I do like that a lot of the rap girls are like getting along, like, please just get along. We don't need all this fighting and stuff. Right. On the docuseries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what were you about to say?
I was gonna say the beef is just so entertaining, though. You know, don't get me wrong. We love the collaborations, but people came to hip hop for beef a lot of times, and so it comes at the expense of some of these relationships, you know.
I get it, but I think now that I'm older, I don't care. Like the Stan Wars, right. Maybe now because it's like because we have internet and it's like the Stan Wars are real. If two girls start beefing, even if it's over something minor, everybody has to jump in and make it bigger than it is. I think that's why it's not as fun. Like it used to be fun, just bring it to the wax, you know, beef on wax, cool. You win, you didn't win, cool. But all of this Stan Wars, doxing people, threatening people's lives, like I'm too old for that shit. So I'd much rather watch them create art and music together than beef, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
We did get a clip of Rhapsody's BET performance, and when I saw this, Chappelle, this was like, yes, this is, remember when I told you last episode, I was like, a lot of people were telling me to download Rhapsody and Tierra Wax stuff, and I remembered that there was an inciting incident as to why I did it, because it's sitting in my phone, I just haven't listened, and then when they showed that clip, I was like, I remembered that Rhapsody's BET performance where she's rapping about the women that basically came before her. And it was such a good rap. And they showed the line where she talked about Lauryn Hill.
The Fugees as a band should be just investigated all together. Nobody is clean in that group. I'm sorry. So,
she said, Lauryn Hill came right on time when we needed her. So let's stop with the jokes. Something like that.
Yeah. I'm like, well, you owe me money. She owes me money. I hear you, Rhapsody, but also she can pay me what she owe me.
Rhapsody's BT performance had like went viral and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I like seeing that.
They also pay homage to the queen. You know, we already did it. Of course. But Dana, Mari, how do you feel? Because I know you're a Queen Latifah stan, but when we grew up in the 90s, the queen was everywhere.
I know. I literally said in my notes, it says, goddamn, I love Queen Latifah.
It's like, man, Queen Latifah, the actress, the writer, the producer, mm-hmm. the basketball player, the rapper. I mean,
because this is the segment, it's giving Boss Bitch, and they highlight Queen Latifah's many, many entrepreneur. I don't think I knew about the Flavor Unit and how she had her own management, which was great. Hearing her talk about her management and how they try, it sounded like they try to be like really fair to them and stuff like that. Queen Latifah is just, she is just amazing, stunning, gorgeous, beautiful, all of that.
Cover girl.
Cover girl. Yeah,
I remember Queen Latifah coming around the corner in that movie, Bringing Down the House with that long ponytail. And I said, yup, that's it. It's the queen. That's why they call her queen, y'all. Just
I've seen that movie so many times.
Yeah, that's so many times. Mama, is master gonna sell us our room?
Man, I I like how it's like they talk about women entrepreneurs and women influencers. I is this a safe space? Can I talk about how I was influenced last week?
How was you influenced last week?
I was influenced last week because, again, Lotto, have you seen these? Lotto has a new Wingstop flavor for wings.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the lemon and herb. Last week, yeah, after we watched this and after I seen the ad so many times, I went and bought it. It was good too, but I was influenced. And I love that for them.
Yeah, didn't Meg have the hottie sauce at Popeyes?
Oh, yeah.
You got to try the hottie sauce?
I still got some. I had to save it. I had to like hoard it and save it for special occasions. The only thing I didn't mess with Saweetie's McDonald's meal, only because that was too much for me. But right. I loved the thought behind it. I was like, yeah, girl, I appreciate you from afar. But it's just so funny that that's a thing now. Like rappers, yeah, and rapstresses are like, they have their own meals at places.
Yeah, so we'd eat like a baby goat, you know.
She
and
do.
So I can't just be emulating what she be eating, y'all. You can't let everybody influence you. But get your bag, Saweetie.
Speaking about the Icy Girl, I love this segment on Saweetie because it reminded me of like back in what, 2015 or something. Like she was the one that I thought was gonna like really make it. Like when I heard Icy Girl and stuff like that, I was like down for Saweetie. And then, you know, and then like Meg kind of outpaced her and stuff. And then she kind of became almost like a joke, you know, mm-hmm, to me. Did you get this? Like, Saweetie, everybody be like, Saweetie is so pretty, but she can't rap. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. No, I'm there with you. Cause I know in the first part of this, I didn't really have nothing negative to say about none of these rappers. It was either I'm really high on them or, you know, I just don't know their music that well. But Saweetie, mm-hmm, I was definitely one of the people like, what are y'all a fan of? Cause she's very pretty, mm-hmm, but I just didn't understand like the talent level. It felt like almost like she was fighting hard against colorism herself, because
right,
she's so pretty that people are like, oh, but she's light skinned. She cannot be talented as a rapper.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and then at the same time, people were like, no, she's pretty. Thus, she is a good rapper. You know, like they're trying to hoist her because she could be like the face of things. And I feel like she got caught in the crossfire of that because I didn't take her seriously either. But seeing all of this other stuff that she does, like the financial literacy, IC University and all that stuff.
Oh, so good.
And that song, Icy Girl, it goes every time.
It goes hard every time.
Every time.
I forget. It looks like you forget about Icy Girl because you think about Tap In, you know? You know, but I agree. Saweetie is smart. She went to UCLA, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. She started her own media company. She gives back to the community. Like, she's amazing. Like, this documentary, I loved learning a little bit more of the behind the scenes. So a lot of these girls, and it really humanized them to me, which made me want to listen to their music. Like, mm-hmm, again, if that was the goal, checkmate. Like, because
yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I added a whole bunch of these women's songs to my like daily playlist and stuff like that. And mm-hmm, if you go on YouTube, there's actually a playlist for a ladies first playlist. Maybe I'll find it and put it in the show notes, where it has all of the songs from the docuseries in it. Like, at least the ones they could find. Yeah. And you can just go through it and listen from like the really old stuff to the really new stuff. So yeah, and this is where we also get Lotto's journey here as well. Like I said, I was very aware of Lotto's journey. Her mom was pregnant at 15. Like, her parents were like not really accepted by her mom's family, but they still had each other. And she went on the Rap Game. I don't know what it was, but I was so obsessed with the Rap Game when it came out.
Oh yeah,
like the four seasons, I think that it did.
I didn't watch one episode.
You haven't watched like at all. You don't. No. So you don't know.
I didn't watch one episode.
Why? May I ask?
It just was never on my radar. Like, I heard it and I was like, girl, I'm not gonna watch these little kids competing and stuff. Because, you know, we had seen that before. I think because you and I, we watch a lot of reality television. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to the Rap Game, I was like, well, we already had this. We did this with the, I've seen the White Rapper Show. I've seen the Missy Elliott's Road to Stardom. I see, you know, like, bruh. I was like,
that one with Cardi on Netflix is good too. The one where they found D Smoke.
Oh yeah, and see, and then I watched 17 seasons of Making the Band. So by this time, I was you know what, y'all, I was like, I can't do it again. So I kind of, that's why I didn't watch it. But I had heard nothing negative about it. I'll say that.
I really liked Rap Game. I'm not gonna lie, it was just it. again, it's just kind of messy. The parents would be there with these young kids. The parents are like, parents are kind of the messy part, to be quite honest. Jermaine Dupri would do like an Abby Lee Miller. It'd be like a pyramid of like who did bad for the week, and whoever did good for the week got the like the chain and stuff like that. I was sports entertained, as we say in the wrestling business. I was entertained. And I remember Lotto's season. I'm not gonna say her previous name. She was her previous name on there, and she won it. She won it. I think that was like the first season too, I want to say. I can't remember. Mm. But she turned the deal down because they realized that the deal not good, you know. She could have been trapped in a 360. She didn't. She decided that the exposure from the show was enough, and she wanted to prove that she could do it. So she was grinding, you know. She was making mixtapes, selling them the old-fashioned way. She was largely independent for a long time, and because there are so many ways to put out music, she decided to do it like that and do it on her own. And then, of course, like I said, she talked about the feature on the album that she decided to forgo because he wanted her to sleep with him. I was a fan of Lotto before this, but like now I'm a really big fan of hers.
Oh yeah. But she can rap. Like Lotto can
rap. She really can.
She can rap. That's not even a question. Like, I remember the first time I heard Lotto's album, I was helping a homegirl move. Because I'm an Omega and that's what we do. We help people move. And so the whole time she was jamming and I was like, what are you listening to? And she had it on repeat. I said, who is this? It's Lotto. I said, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She can go every time.
I think what a lot of these rap girls get caught in that trap of is like making these songs that are samples of older songs, you know. Mm-hmm. Lotto did manage to get Queen Mariah Carey out on stage with her to perform for a big energy, but like for me sometimes, like, again, it kind of, I'm that old where I'm like my mom now. It's like, I'd rather just hear the original song, you know, and get mad, you know?
Yes.
Because I like a lot of their original stuff more than their like sampled stuff for me. Just personally. Yeah.
Again, not to pick on them, because a lot of dudes sample music as well and do mm-hmm. over tracks and stuff like that. Exactly. But we getting old, y'all. We like the ones that we liked mm-hmm. when we liked them, and now y'all trying to change them, and like we old. So come on. But I get what you're saying for sure.
Exactly. The third chapter is We Out Here, and it highlights queer female rappers. And I really like this section. We get more from Chica, and she talks about her growing up and how her parents, she's from Montgomery, Alabama, but she was born to Nigerian parents. And she talks about how she just never wanted to be in a position where she had to come out. So her music has always been very proud about, you know, her liking women. They showed a clips of one of her songs and one of her videos where she's inspired by A Different World, where she's playing the lead and she's pursuing a female lead and stuff like that. And we also talk about Young M.A., who was a breakout star, whose song, Ooh. That tore up the charts years ago, man.
Yeah.
She's okay. What's she up to?
What is M.A. doing these days?
I don't know.
She can say holla at her.
Do you have a favorite queer artist here, Shabelle?
I mean, of the two they named, I guess, you know, I'm fans of both of them, but I think that the thing that they also talked about is that a lot of the women have have rapped about, you know, their bisexuality, you know, and mm-hmm. people like Meg or even like Cardi, you know, Nicki Minaj mm-hmm. for years, lot about being bisexual, but she made it, really mainstream mm-hmm. and acceptable, mm-hmm. you know, and so I appreciate all of them, but no, I don't think I didn't know Chica's backstory. I knew Chica was queer because of, you know, like obviously the subject matter of her songs, but I didn't know her backstory. But you know my fave. We already talked about my fave.
Yeah.
The rat tat 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 tat. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. The brat and the queen. You know, like I won't speak on Queen Latifah because she don't speak on her that much. She wasn't speaking on her like that here. So I'm going to just leave that alone because it felt like y'all was making some decisions for her. And I was like, But right. the brat been fine since fine, been fine. And she could cover it up in the basketball shorts if she want to. That's a beautiful woman. And so I've always been a fan of the brat. And I was very happy to see her when she was able to come out and post her wife. And
so
she said,
cute. They look like so cute together.
That bruh, beautiful, both beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I loved it. I loved seeing the brat. Again, what you like? A whole lot of
The brat talks about like she never felt like coming out because she really didn't find anybody that she wanted to like present that to, but when she found her wife back in 2020, they come out. And I actually like her story about both her wife, like, should we post it, and they posted it, like, well, damn, I guess we came out. And they just, I know they just had a baby together too. Like, it's so cute. And DeBrat just talks about how meeting her wife and how she just feels totally like herself, and she was tearing up talking about it. I was like, I love seeing people being able to just fully express themselves. And DeBrat being one of those people who have massively changed, like we said, our lives, like without even needing to come out, I'm just glad that she got that closure for herself, you know. And yes, like you said, they give a section to Queen Latifah where it's kind of like people are like, yeah, Queen Latifah's gay. We all knew she was gay and nobody need to say it, you know? And then we get clips of her. They're like, oh, she finally comes out in 2022, quote unquote, just because she shouts out her wife on when she's getting that Lifetime Achievement Award. In 2021. But again, Queen Latifah, who is a talking head on this documentary, does not say anything about it. So like Chappelle says, it's like she doesn't care to talk about it. This is a side note and a brief aside, but I don't know, Chappelle, do you remember that book? Tell me if it's too niche, but it was a book that came out in 2009 called Hiding in Hip Hop. Do you remember that book? Basically, the only reason why I know that book, I have a signed copy of it because the author came to Howard's bookstore, signed copies about, yes, Hiding in Hip Hop. And he was talking about like why he was like a former like PA for MTV or something like that. He worked in the entertainment business and he basically writes a book. It was right after, you know, you remember like when Superhead made her,
Confession.
Yeah, her confession. Video Vixen.
Read that one.
Yeah, I know. And everybody loved those blind items back in the day. He pulled one out and he was talking about like all of the men in hip hop that he was having relations with. But of course, again, it was all blind items. But I distinctly remember at the Q&A, somebody asking him like, oh, but what about Queen Latifah? And he was like, what about Queen Latifah? She's gay and everybody knows that. Like that's not a surprise. It's not a shock. It's she just doesn't go around talking about it because she is who she is. Like I always remember that because Queen Latifah can do whatever the fuck she wants to, and I love her.
Yeah,
and
she's I'm still in love with her. I am still in love with that woman. Make no mistake, she can love whoever she wants to love, and I love her
exactly.
Yeah,
and yeah,
dear
and,
God.
You don't have to tell people whatever you want. You know. You do whatever you want to.
Live your life.
I love that. I really, really love that section. And then finally, just the giving flowers section.
This is my section.
This was your section. Well,
I just love when they shout out the rappers, man. Like that. Yeah, like usually we talk about this, but man, I'm a fanboy. You tell me, oh yeah, this rapper good. I'll go listen and I'm gonna hype him up. Flo Milli, that's my girl. Flo Milli. That's my girl. Oh my God. I was like, she from Alabama. You know, that's I was like, bro, Flo Milli, you can't do a fan cam on Instagram or Twitter without seeing Flo Milli, man. She raps, dog. They talk about Rico Nasty, that guy, Rico Nasty today.
Yes.
You know, they be rapping. Even like people like Lil Mama, you know, who have gone under the radar now. But when we were in high school, if your lip gloss wasn't popping, what were you doing? You know, Lil Mama say it's popping, you know?
Yeah. Which again, where she crossed into like almost a joke, I mean, because America's Best Dance Crew hopping up on stage with Jay-Z.
That ponytail, but in the back of that hat, yeah.
I will give her props. She came back out in the TLC. If you have not seen the TLC biopic from VH1, is it called Crazy Sexy Cool TLC it Story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go watch that. Kiki Palmer plays Chili. Drew Sidora plays T-Boz. And Lil Mama plays Left Eye. It is one of the best biopics I've ever seen in my entire life. I remember watching it and crying. Like, because I was like, these are my people. I love seeing this. It was a great biopic. And I'll give Lil Mama her props there too. But yes, the roll call of all of the women shouting out each other, shouting out other women who weren't there. I love that they ended on this, you know?
Yeah.
And we love seeing all the old heads and stuff.
Right. I mean, even just like, you know, more love for Missy Elliott always mm-hmm. and forever, you know what I'm saying? But there are so many women rappers that just deserve their flowers and mm-hmm. we don't talk about them enough. And the ones that we do talk about, we talk about a lot, but we don't talk about them enough. And so it's like, if you got a chance to highlight somebody or to show them love, talk about the rappers that you like. Like, I called out Azalea Banks earlier because she's ridiculous. But Azalea Banks got hits. You know, mm-hmm. she is ridiculous, and I refuse to support mm-hmm. her because she just don't know how to act. But at the same right. time, she got hits. Dolce is another one who's been at the top of my playlist. She's so persuasive. That mm-hmm. go every time. Dej Loaf. We didn't really talk about Eve a lot. Yeah, where is Dej Loaf? That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Eve got a shout out here, too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm mm-hmm. saying. There's so many. And like, people like Eve with the crossover appeal. You know, we've seen Eve do it all. You're an actor. You know, she is like Eve a talk show host, I think, for a while. I think she's married to like a billionaire. So
she's a billionaire.
Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
She too was once a stripper. You know, like Eve, you know, her and Stevie J before Jocelyn, there was Eve. Look, you know what I'm saying? Before. That was Eve, you know, like mm-hmm. Eve, and everywhere she got them paw prints on her, like Adam and Eve, because yep. the tiger got her, you know, she was distracted. So it's paying homage to them, because let Gangsta Lovin' come on. I mean, yeah. every time.
Yeah, exactly. And I just liked all the shout out and them talking about how different all of the women are and how we need all of them. I think it was Rhapsody who said, we need it all because we are not a monolith. And it's true. And Lord knows me and Chappelle say this all the time.
Yeah.
And that's it for Ladies First, a story of women in hip hop. Overall, my overall thoughts about the 4-part docuseries is it was such an easy watch. You put it mm-hmm. on, you binge all 4, you learn a lot. You hear from so many people. I don't think any of the time was wasted. I definitely suggest anybody who's listening, if you haven't already, go watch it. It brings out a lot of nostalgia as well. And just a feeling of community and camaraderie. And I think we need more of that nowadays. What are your final thoughts, Chappelle?
Agree. Like I said, anytime you're giving somebody their flowers, I'll be the first one in line. I love hyping people up. It's kind of my thing. And so if you tell me that like somebody out here like getting overlooked for their contributions, tell us. Tell me. Let me know. Mm-hmm. Let me know if we like, you know, not being fair to an artist, because I can get in the hip hop arguments with the best of them. You know, I'll get in there and talk trash about your favorite rapper. But that's all in like fun to an extent. But also this stuff kind of does affect these people's legacies, you know, so you can't mm-hmm. hate too much. Sometimes you just got to give people credit for what they're able to do well. And these women were exceptional and are exceptional and they deserve to get the credit. And so 4-part series. Could have been longer for me, honestly, because there's so much more you could have talked about. Mm-hmm. I appreciated it. I want more content like this. And if you want to hear more content like this, you know, mm-hmm. make sure you subscribe to Post Show Recaps on Spotify, because the Connect is in there. Or you can subscribe to the Connect on Post Show Recaps on Apple and other podcast platforms. So if you can't find us at the Connect, look for us on Post Show Recaps.
Yes. And of course, Post Show Recaps has a Patreon. So if you want to support our work, signing up makes it possible for us to bring you these podcasts each and every week. And if you're a fan of the We Got Y'all crew and want more coverage of shows like this, like Ladies First and Rap Shit, please consider signing up at any level and let them know that we sent you. of course, you can always reach us at connect@postshowrecaps.com. Or like I said, at Mari Talks Too Much on Twitter for me, or at Chappelle's_show for Chappelle. And for the Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps to support PSR and its podcasters. And of course, we just wanted to try something a little new today. So I wanted to support and highlight a small Black business of a friend of mine. It's called Revel Wellness Co. That's RVL Wellness Co. It's therapeutic puzzles that uplift women of color, and they are relaunching this Friday, September 1st, with all new puzzles, all new kits and stuff like that. Their motto is find your peace with every piece. So please go follow them on all social media platforms. That's Instagram, TikTok, all of them, by going to RVL Wellness Co. So RVLWELLNESSCO to support Black business. Also, like Chappelle said, if you haven't already, the Connect is on Apple. We are on Apple Podcasts. So please go and look for the Connect on Post Show Recaps on Apple. And then, you know, give us 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews only. You know, we'll read them. If it's anything less, keep it.
We ain't gonna see it. We're not gonna see it. The way the algorithm set up, if you put us a 4, we won't know it. So give us a 5-star review and then let us know what you really feel like. But the 5 stars is mandatory.
Exactly. Chappelle, where can the people find you?
Follow me on Twitter @Chappelle's_show. I'm doing a lot of podcasting right now. Talked about 90 Day Fiance on Rob Has a Podcast. Talking about Suits every day at suitspodcast.com. Talking about Netflix shows every week with Rob Sestanino. And guesting here and there in different places. But follow me on Twitter and you can keep up with all of that.
Yep. You can also follow me over on the Crime Scene Podcast, where me and Sarah Carradine, we do a true crime review podcast. So we watch either a true crime documentary, docuseries, whatever, and we review it. We tell you if you should watch it as well. So you can go to robhasapodcast.com/crimefeed in order to subscribe to us there. I was also just on the Big Brother live feed updates last week. So if you want to hear me talk about Big Brother, you can follow me on Twitter @MariTalksTooMuch. That's two, like the number 2. And I'll post all of my links to my Big Brother podcast there. So that's it for us at The Connect. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Bye.